Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. It's Trina Mara. Siobhan is with us, and Siobhan is the booby physio. You need to be very careful when you're saving Siobhan's number in your phone, because you could put her in as the booby psycho. So make sure that you know how to spell physio. Siobhan, you're welcome.
Love it, love it. Thank you, Trina. Do you know what's funny? When I first became a physiotherapist, my mother used to call me the physioterrorist. So between the booby psycho and the physioterrorist, exactly. I think I'm getting a bit of a reputation.
Yes, yeah. Well, come here. I'm so interested in this, right? Because my boobs are absolutely massive and my posture is desperate. And I feel like no matter what kind of clothes I'm wearing, nothing looks right in me. And I can't believe the difference in some of the pictures that you have on your Instagram. When somebody's posture changes due to the bra they're wearing, etc., and the fitting they have, it makes them so much slimmer and everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the interesting things about it. And like when I started looking at this as a concept, because I'm a physio, my remit was very much about helping people to feel better physically and helping them to move better. Because that's basically what we do as physios. We help people to feel better and move better. And one of the things that I suppose to some extent, there's a bit of a, we're not supposed to focus on the aesthetics because that's considered to be, you know, kind of not within our remit. But having said that, if somebody looks better, they feel better. Mm. And if somebody stands in front of my mirror and goes, oh my God, and can't take their eyes off themselves, yeah, where previously they didn't even want to look at themselves in the mirror, that's a massive psychological boost. And that psychological boost makes such a difference to everything, the way they hold themselves. And that psychological boost then has an impact in terms of other areas of their lives, whether that's how they feel physically, mm, or whether that's what they do socially. Yeah. So they'll go to the party that they were thinking, I don't want to go to it. Sometimes people, and this is, I mean, it's an interesting thing that you kind of led this with the fact that you've got big boobs and that you've
massive,
struggled.
Like massive.
Everybody, okay, massive, massive. We're all massive. But one of the things that when I say to people, you know, when people say, what do you do? And I tell them what I do, they go, oh, I don't need that. I'm only small. There's a perception when I have this conversation with people that it's only of use to larger breasted women. And that's actually not true. It's actually beneficial for everybody. But in the same way as you can imagine the law of proportions, a larger breasted woman is going to have an impact that is greater than a smaller breasted woman might necessarily notice. Yeah. A lot of smaller breasted women haven't necessarily noticed that their posture is being affected, mm, by the weights that they're carrying because they don't actually think that they're carrying any weight. Whereas we're all carrying weights. Yeah. And when you've had larger boobs all your life, you've probably noticed that they're impacting your life. You've probably had the conversation with yourself about wishing you didn't have them or wishing that you could support them better. But that isn't a conversation that everybody has with themselves. So it's been a really interesting journey for me because I'm very much about supporting all women, regardless of size. But what you see in terms of the impact that it has on people's lives is greater for larger breasted women, which is totally understandable. Yeah. And they'll be the women who have stopped being active because their boobs are just moving too much or they're getting pain. Yeah. Because when your breasts move, your body moves at a very, very slightly different pace. Now, it's only tiny, like it's a minuscule of a second, but that causes your breasts to slap down on your body. That's actually called breast slap, and that can give people pain, and that can make somebody go, I'm not going to go for, you know, I'm certainly not going to go for a run. I'm not even sure I want to go for a walk.
Mm. Siobhan, I remember being a teenager in secondary school and dreading doing PE, absolutely dreading, yeah, the PE, because they'd have you running around, yeah, the place. And I don't think back then there was even such a thing as a sports bra. And no one certainly suggested that you have one or you wore one.
Yeah, and I suppose that depends on kind of the age that you are, in that the first sports bra wasn't actually invented until 1977. But
okay,
even
younger than that, I just didn't know about them.
Yeah, there you go. But that happened in the States, and even at that then they didn't come over here for a while. I mean, I played rugby for Ireland. I played in the 90s. Just before I played for Ireland, I physioed for the England squad, the England women's squad. That was the early 90s. And even back then, like, I mean, I never spoke to any of my players or any of my teammates about sports bras. Yeah. We just played in whatever we were in.
Yeah,
you know, you just got on with it.
Yeah.
which is very much what women do. I mean, it's great to see that there's more conversations happening now, and there's more choice. There's much more choice in terms of what's available, and there's a lot better support on the market than there used to be, you know, because obviously there's advances in technology, advances in engineering, and that's what it is. It's textile engineering, and advances in the understanding of the body as well, because that makes a big difference. So it's brilliant to see that conversation happening now about sports bras, because I think it is something that is going to have a positive benefit in terms of women thinking, oh, well, maybe I could if I just got a sports bra or a better sports bra or the right sports bra. But I'm going to now add another adjective, which is the most important adjective of all to the word sports bra, and that is optimally fitting. There is no point in somebody just putting on a sports bra. If it's not the right fit, you're not going to get the maximum benefit from it. Mm-hmm. So there's two things about this conversation that I want to kind of influence and change. One is we need to be talking about optimally fitting sports bras. And the second is we need to also go beyond the sports bra and think about what the woman is wearing for the rest of her day or for the rest of her week, maybe, or, you know, whatever. If she's not wearing a sports bra, she also needs to be optimally fitted. So there's no point in just putting on a really good optimally fitting sports bra for an hour, three times a week, if you exercise for an hour, three times a week, and then being really poorly supported the rest of the time. Yeah. So these things go hand in hand, and I think we need to keep them hand in hand. And that's where we're very much about trying to educate people into that whole sphere.
You know, when you have heavy boobs, the back of your neck can almost feel like, do you know that feeling when you're wearing a hoodie and it's kind of like, yeah, bothering you at the back? Yeah. Or your coat is kind of, yeah, caught in the hoodie. It feels like that a lot of the time. And I can only imagine that's the drag of the boob.
Yeah. So if you think about that from a, like, literally from a spinal perspective. So our spine, we have a curve, very slight curve inwards at the neck. We have a very slight curve outwards at the mid back, and we have a very slight curve inwards at the lower back. So people talk about it being an S shape. It's not really an S. It's kind of like curves. I call it waves. Right? Now, if you imagine that that's the position that your spine is in when you're stacked, when you have your ribs on top of your pelvis, when you have your head on top of your ribs. Okay? Now, think about this as like a Jenga. If you push forward in the middle, there has to be a reaction somewhere above and below. And so what happens is if you push forward because breast weight is pulling you down, and you know what? I mean, when we talk about posture, we all have to stay upright against gravity. So men have to work to stay upright against gravity as well. But we just have to work harder because we've got these two elephants on our chest that are dragging us down. So we have to create more muscular force relative to our body weight to be able to hold ourselves up in that more stacked position. Now, if gravity wins and gravity pulls us down, then as a result of that change in the curve in your mid-back, your head will very often go forward. As soon as your head goes forward, the weight of your head relatively changes in the sense that for you to then be able to bring your head back to stack it again, you've got a lot of muscular force needed in the neck, which generally our neck muscles are not strong enough to be able to manage. So now we've got two biomechanical forces that are working to push us into this more slouched position. And then with that happening, the lower back, the curve in the lower back and the curve in the neck have both actually gone into the opposite shapes to what they started. We know for a fact that men and women have different levels of lower back and neck pain. And we know for a fact that women have more upper back neck pain and lower back pain than men. And nobody in any of the literature has gone, well, actually, it might be because we're carrying two weights around that are dragging us forward. All the literature talks about other reasons, talks about social reasons, talks about hormonal reasons, never mentioned. This is why I call them the elephants in the room, yeah, because it is such a problem hidden in plain sight that just hasn't been talked about at all. And it's not covered in any training. Sorry, now I'm off, Trina. But it's not covered in any of our training. We didn't, I never did it with, and I kind of came a circuitous route in terms of my training, but never covered in any of the qualifications I did. Not covered in medical training, not covered in midwifery. Everybody, and rightly so, when breasts are discussed in terms of healthcare preparation, whether that's allied healthcare professionals or medics, the conversation is always about breast cancer. And it should be. And don't get me wrong, it's really important that that is the first and the most important thing to speak about. But it is not the only thing that happens to women's breasts. Like, after that, then we're not going to talk about them.
Can I ask you then, Siobhan, when it comes to then buying our bras, I'm assuming most of us are wearing the wrong size bra, are we?
Yes, you are assuming correctly. So the research tells us 70 to 80%. Bra fitters, so if you go into a lingerie store and you talk to somebody whose job day in, day out is to fit bras, they will tell you the number is up near 90-95%. That's what they see. So 9 out of 10 women that come into them will be in the wrong fit. We, so far, me and all of the physios that I have trained, the partners that I have, and I've got some in the UK, I've got some in Ireland, and I've got one in New Zealand. So far, we are at, I was going to say 100%, because it was 100% until last week, and now it's 99.9% of the people we have seen in the wrong bra.
I think that must
and
be
if you think about it.
It must be because you go in and you get your first bra, whatever age, and then you might get a little bit bigger in your teenage years, and then you just assume, oh, that's my size now. I'm now a 36B or 36C, and that's it forever.
Yeah.
And you just buy that one from then on.
And 36B, and exactly, 36B and 34C are the most common sizes, because that's the size that people buy and continue to buy, even though their body has changed, and they may never have been that in the first place, because that's another whole story. But the reason why women are in the wrong bra is because they don't know how to fit themselves. So a lot of women don't go for fitting in the first place. They'll just pick something up and think, oh, that'll do. It covers me. That's all I need it for. So there's a large proportion of women who have never been fitted. And now I'm going to be controversial and I expect the hate mail. There are people who have been fitted and have been fitted incorrectly, because there's a technique that started back in the 40s that is still in use today in some places where there was no elastic. So the technique is to increase the band size and have the band be bigger than your body. Now, it's also not that simple either, because shape and style very much dictate, and how much elastic is in a bra will dictate the band size that you need. So it's not as simple as your girth is your band size. The elastic might be generous, the elastic might be tight, so you might be down, you might be up, but starting off with something that is 4 or 5 inches bigger than your body is definitely not a good starting point. And so a lot of women have been fitted, and for me, have been given a disservice in that they then think they are the ubiquitous 36B. Right. And very often what we'll find when these, you know, when people come in is that they are very often, now not always, they'll very often be in a band that's too big. And when the band is too big, the cup will be too small. It will be. It's just logic the way it works out. And so if the cup is too small and it's a wired cup, guess where the wire is? Poking on the breast tissue. Why do people want to take their bra off at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? Because the wire is the devil
digging
and it's poking on their breast tissue.
Some women are embarrassed about going and getting the fitting done. And I always say, don't ever be embarrassed. Jeez, we're all made the same. But if people are embarrassed about going in, if they did want to fit or try and size themselves at home, how would they go about that?
I mean, this is a big part of what we do, in that we educate people not just about bra fit, but about how you can internally support your breast weight. So how you can use your posture to support your breast weight so that you get that change in position of your breast weight. So I like to use the analogy of headlights, where when we're in that slouch position, your breasts are heading towards the floor. So that's like dipped headlights. When you do your kind of stacking in your posture, which we will teach you how to do, then that'll bring you to full beam. And then when you get your optimally fitting bra, that'll take you to high beam. Or you go the other way around, you get your optimally fitting bra, that will take you to full beam. But without the postural work, your body is still going to get pulled back down towards the floor again. So if you're looking at just pure bra fit, there, you know, people can look up what is optimal bra fitting on the web. It's on there now, because we have 5 what we call criteria of best fit. So it's easy enough to find that out. But for it to be sustainable, it works even better if you combine it with that internal support. So this is where kind of, I suppose, our approach is very unique, in that nobody else has connected the internal support with the external support. So you can get a really good, and you know, don't get me wrong, there there's some really, really good bra fitters out there, and I would absolutely not be wanting to sound like I'm saying that I'm not acknowledging that. There are some really good ones, but it's kind of like a hairdresser, you know, you have to, sometimes you have to kiss a lot of frogs before you find the one that's right for you.
And you know what's funny about that? A lot of the bra fitters, they know just by looking at you straight off what size you are.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it. They're like, how?
It's just because they are basically looking at boobs all day.
Yeah.
And sometimes they can look and they can see, you know, they'll see a shape and they'll be able to immediately see if you're, you know, more bottom heavy and more, you know, kind of shallow at the top, which is what tends to happen after various different life stages or after life events like pregnancy and breastfeeding. And so they can see that just because that's what they do all day, every day. And they're incredible. And their knowledge of styles is immense, so that they can look at you and they can go, okay, I know a full cup isn't going to suit your breast shape, but I know a plunge will, or the other way around. You know, so they've got that amazing level of knowledge, which is fantastic.
Well, I tell you what, I will never, ever be going near a halter neck. It's just, it puts too much pressure on.
Hang on a second there now. If you wear a bra in racer back, then that's going to give you that same level of support to allow you to wear a halter neck.
Really interesting. See?
We need to do a pasture fitting, Trina. We'll get that done.
We won't do it on Instagram. Nobody needs to see this.
We won't do it on Instagram. No. We might do it before and after.
The boobies, get the boobs out. Classic tits, we'll call ourselves instead of classic hits.
Love it. I might have to steal that.
Oh, stop.
I'll credit you though.
So are many women getting their boobs reduced surgically these days?
That's again a really good question, because when you have realised that your breasts are giving you that level of trouble that are impacting your quality of life, then at that point women will go to their GP and go, what can I do with these? And the only option that they've ever been given is breast reduction. Now, breast reduction is a big surgery, and it is not something that people should go into without understanding what's involved. But also the other thing is, because it is the only thing that's ever offered, there's a very large waiting list. So on the HSE, there's a long waiting list. And to get it done privately, you're talking 10, 12 grand. When you are looked at from the perspective of, do you need a breast reduction? The criteria that are used are the likes of poor posture, neck pain, back pain, inability to exercise, chafing, all of the things that happen, all of the same things that happen when somebody is in a poorly fitting, poorly supported in terms of their breast weight, whether that's internal or external. So there is a step that we need to intervene in before people, I mean, and there are times when people will still need a breast reduction, but that step of, have you been optimally fitted with a bra? Have you been taught how to support your breast weight? That's not a step that has been traditionally available for people. Yeah. You know, it's not been offered as that combination. It's been offered in, I suppose, two individual circumstances by two different sets of people. So yes is the answer, because people are still seeking breast reduction because they think it's the only option for them. One of the things we know from the research is that the cohort of people who have it the most is actually postmenopausal women. And that's really interesting, because if you think about that from the perspective of how long somebody has been putting up with breast weight that has been impacting on their lives, it could be 30 or 40 years at that point that they've been going, oh my God, these boobs are driving me insane. And that may be, it isn't always the case, but it may be the point in their lives when they finally got some more potential time for themselves, where they've finally got some more potential resources for themselves from a financial perspective. But it's also the time when women kind of go, I just can't take this anymore. I've had enough. I need to do something about it rather than just looking after everybody else. So there's a lot of social reasons as to why it's in that cohort that it's the most commonly thought. But also what we need to do with that, I think that's really important, is we need to manage people's expectations. And there's a level of education that needs to happen within the medical community as well then, to connect the medical side with what happens afterwards. Because if somebody gets told, as very often happens when they go for a breast reduction consultation, I'll make you a C cup. That means nothing. There's no such thing as a C cup, because the cup and the band are related. So the volume in a 32C cup and the volume in a 38C cup are totally different. So the cup size has to be related to the band size. When somebody does have that surgery, it's really important that they are given the right expectations of the outcome, because what will happen is they'll have physical improvements. They'll have less breast weight than they had before. But then if they're fitting into a bra that isn't a C-cup, or they're not fitting into a C-cup, then they get very disappointed with the outcome. And then psychologically, that starts to have an impact again. And you're already dealing with people who hate their breasts, as a general rule. So what you're hoping for with this surgery, and as I say, it's an extensive surgery, so you would want them to develop a positive relationship with their breasts at that point, and then not end up going, oh my God, I still hate them, because they're still not a C.
Do they grow back, just that expectation. Have you seen that? Do they grow back? Oh, they do.
They will grow with life stages and with hormonal inputs at various different stages of our lives. So what happens when a reduction is done is that they will take out X amount of the fat tissue, because breasts are made up of fat tissue, mammary tissue, which is the glands, so the milk ducts and the lobules that help to store milk, and also some connective tissue, but there's very little connective tissue, and that connective tissue doesn't provide any support. So what happens is when they will generally take out a certain amount of the fat tissue, but body fat is changing all the time and can increase again. Now, equally, it can decrease again. So it depends on, sometimes it can depend on the person's overall body fat level. So some people will gain weight and they won't put a pound on their boobs. Others will only put weight on their boobs and not put it on the rest of their body. Others will be different again, you know, so it's very variable. So basically the people who have had a breast reduction for whom their breasts have grown again, that are have increased in size again, because it's not so much they've grown, they've increased in size, then that would tend to be related to where they're at in their hormonal journey in the first place, which is also, again, why postmenopausal women, it may be more popular then, but also in terms of their overall body fat levels, because that can go up and down.
So how often, Siobhan, would you recommend that women get fitted for bras? And is there a particular time of the month or anything like that that we should be aiming to get it done?
My answer to how often should you get fitted is always when the bra that you're wearing doesn't fit you anymore. It's not so much about there being every 6 months or every 9 months or every 10 washes. Because the thing with a bra is it will degrade based on how much it's worn and how much it's washed. So if you wear it a lot and if you wash it a lot, the fabric is going to degrade quicker and the elastic will stretch quicker. And that's why there are a number of different hook and eyes, so that we've got the opportunity to change how tightly we wear it. But we should only ever be following the criteria of best fit for how tight that should be. We never want it too tight. We never want it too loose. It's kind of like mama bear and daddy bear and baby bear. Of course, mama bear is the ideal. So that's where we want to be with that. That is very dependent on how often you've worn the bra. So if you've got one that you've only worn once a month, then it'll last you much longer than something you're wearing all the time. But the key thing is when it no longer fits. That's when it needs to be changed. That's not so much about when do you need to be fitted. It's about when does your bra need to change. Yeah. Because it's not fitting you anymore. You're spot on with saying time of the month, because our breasts do change in size over our monthly cycle. They increase in size pre-menstruation, because basically the breasts are preparing for a potential pregnancy. So they get larger because the lobules increase in size, the milk ducts get prepared for the possibility of producing milk. And then when there isn't a pregnancy, the breasts will go down again. So all of that activity where the milk ducts and the lobules have enlarged to prepare for pregnancy, all of that calms down again. So after menstruation, we tend to be a little bit smaller. Before menstruation, we tend to be a little bit bigger. If you are fitting yourself for a bra, or if you are being fitted for a bra, it should always be noted where you are in your cycle, because that's going to affect whether the fit is, if it's feeling a little bit kind of on the tight side and you are at those different phases, then that's going to affect where you're at when you're at a different
stage. Yeah, because you don't want it hanging off you then at the normal time.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The other thing and again, that's all just education, you know. That's exactly as you've just said, like, you knew that, so you were aware of that. But also, you know, over pregnancy and breastfeeding, that's when people will see those changes the most. But you'd be surprised how many people after pregnancy will go back into the bra that they were in before they were pregnant. But their breasts have changed. And their breasts don't go back to being the way they were pre-pregnancy. They obviously get, well, I say obviously, they get bigger. It's the time when most people notice the changes the most, because they tend to be quite significant changes. So they'll get bigger, but then they don't necessarily go back to the way they were before. And the shape will have changed, potentially. So the style of bra might be different that might be needed.
Do you know what's mad, Siobhan? I'm just thinking around this festive season, and we're seeing ads left, right and centre in all the various shops, etc., gifting underwear and bras, etc., to your loved one. And you're going, like, honestly, it must be the worst gift to give somebody, because there's no chance that anyone's going to get the right size.
It's definitely one that needs to come with a return option.
With a receipt,
sure.
Yes.
Yeah, with the receipt. Yeah, yeah, with the gift receipt. But then also, you know, it is very much about if somebody knows where they're at in terms of their size, right? That's going to be very specific to the bra. So,
brand,
for example, I have, yeah, and the brand, exactly. And I have, and even within brands, it'll be different based on what I mentioned earlier, which is that some bras will have an elastic that's more generous, and some will have an elastic that's more tight. Now, that's not necessarily going across brands. Like within one brand, I have five different brands, they have five different sizes, but they all fit me. But the difference is in the engineering of the bra. One of the things that I think, you know, is really important that we understand, like sometimes women will say to me, oh, I can never find a bra that fits, there must be something wrong with me. It's not you, it's the bras. They're all different.
Yeah.
And if we know, again, how to fit ourselves, then we can work out, does this style work for me? No, it doesn't. And it doesn't because there's a bit here that's gaping, or there's a bit here that's just digging in on me. And even though I've gotten the next size up, it doesn't dig in on me now, but now it's gaping. So therefore, you have to try them on. Absolutely have to try them on.
Yeah,
and even with the knowledge of fit, you still need to try them on.
There is a warning now. There's no point in snooping through your partner's underwear drawer, having a look at the tags and knowing, thinking that you know the size.
Correct.
Just don't. Just get them something else instead.
Yep.
Siobhan, you do look after people, obviously, because you are the boobie physio and people can go see you. So tell us, where are you and how can people go about getting an appointment?
So I'm based in West Cork, but I am going to take this opportunity, if I may, Trina, to say I have people who I've trained. I've got two fabulous physios in Dublin, and I've got two physios in Limerick, and I've got two physios in Wexford. What I am lacking is physios across the rest of the country and Wales. I've got a couple of fabulous physios in Scotland, and I've got a few people in England, and I'd say one in New Zealand. I'm always on the lookout for more physios to train, because one of the fabulous things that has happened since, I suppose, I've become a little bit more kind of out there, which is now happening because of being the boobie physio, there's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of inquiries coming in. And that's, you know, it just gives me joy to see how many women are sending messages saying the likes of, oh my God, how did I never think of this? How did I never put these things together? Or, I really need to have this done. And it's brilliant that people can see a need. Unfortunately, there's only a few of us who are offering the service. So what we're doing is we are trying to look after everybody. So we're going to do pop-up clinics in various parts of the country and just try and get the areas that I don't have physios available. We're going to try and get, you know, come and do clinics in those areas. But firstly, apologies to anybody who might be listening, who might be going, I've already emailed and I haven't got an appointment. We're trying really hard to look after everybody. And the more
she's up to her tits, everybody.
Get,
she's up to her tits.
I am. That's absolutely where I am. Up to and beyond. You see, it is such a pun-filled field.
Oh,
honestly, it's just amazing. And I'm going to use that as well, Trina. I'm going to be taking all of your puns.
I should be on the stage doing selling out the Tree Arena in comedy instead of doing this radio show.
You should. You can be my ambassador with the likes of that.
With the massive boobs, yeah.
The tit ambassador.
Classic tits.
The amboobador.
Right, so you're up to your tits trying to deal with
people.
Yeah.
Up to my tits, but trying to look after people. So I suppose this, my plea is for patience and leniency and forgiveness from anybody who has been in touch and who hasn't been given an appointment yet. But basically, if you look at my website, which is posturefittingphysio.com, that shows you locations of people. And if you can get in touch with them directly, that's probably the best way to go if they're close enough to you. And then if not, we can do virtual consults, we can do pop-up clinics, and yes, we are trying to look after 50% of the population, which is a fair few women. and girls.
Yeah. Well, do have a look at Siobhan's Instagram. Give us the Instagram there again.
So the Instagram is posture.fitting, but I did try and make it Booby Physio. So I think if you search under Booby Physio, you might find it.
Okay. Because you know what? There's a pinned photo up there. You'll see it's the very first one you'll come across on the grid. And it's unbelievable the difference between the same person wearing a crappy bra and wearing a good fitted bra. And the difference is like in the first photograph, you could trip up over the boobs. And the second one, they're up there. They're up there nice and high.
Yeah.
And the person looks so much slimmer and everything. So, Siobhan, I could talk all day. Thanks so much for coming on. And hopefully we will see everyone getting their boobs fitted and feeling much better about themselves and their clothes.
And going from dip headlights to high beam. That's the goal.
Every time I see a car in the dark now, I'm going to think of that, Siobhan.
There
thanks
you go.
So much. We'll talk to you again. Bye bye. It's Ireland's
Thank
Classic
you.
Hits Radio.